Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, will you soon be able to gamble in flight? And what is the drone doing hovering outside your hotel room window? It's delivering your DoorDash order. Those stories and more next in the news.
Taking selfies has become a generational tradition, but death by selfies has killed hundreds. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we have some common sense suggestions to make your next travel selfie a bit less life-threatening.
Lots going on out at the airport. At 11:35, Scott Johnson joins us to update you on parking, expansion, and even the new Don't Park on the Curb for More Than 4 Minutes cameras.
Odds and Ends at 11:50 today, my friends, featuring a story on how one cruise line is solving the deck chair free-for-all, you know, where everyone races around in the morning to grab their deck chair and reserve it. Well, there is a solution to the problem, and the Carnival line may be onto something.
Here every week to make you a smarter traveler next time you hit the road, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again,
popping everywhere, man.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We wanted to talk a little baseball at the top.
Yeah, at the top of the. Wanted to talk just at the top of the program here about a couple of baseball items. I know this is a travel show, but please bear with me. This week, Dusty Baker did a speaking appearance for KVIE Public Television, and it happened to be an event that Sports Leisure Vacations was sponsoring. Dusty came out and spoke, told baseball stories, some stories about his life. Really, really interesting guy who has had, he was Hank Aaron's protege. And that was back in a time Dusty had some stories to tell about playing baseball in the South that were difficult to listen to say the least. And then, of course, came the announcement later in the week that Mike Kruko is leaving, is retiring as a Giants announcer after 36 years. And boy, that is, if you're a baseball fan, you are as much tied to the announcers in many cases as you are to the teams. And just about everybody who's a baseball fan can tell you who the announcers were for their favorite team when they were growing up. And Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper have been team broadcast teammates for the Giants for 36 years. And Kruko, who has a degenerative muscle disease, is just at the point. They've done some things the last few years to help keep him on the air and do broadcasts from two locations and things like that. But he's going to retire at the end of the season. The reason this is important is because starting last night, his broadcasting partner, Dwayne Kuiper, started bringing Kruko, asking Kruko questions and things that related to his entire broadcasting career. There are going to be so many great stories, baseball stories, and things told. And Mike Kruko is really, really a nice man. And the stories he has to tell sometimes are a little bit poignant. And so if you're a baseball fan, the Giants are having a miserable season. I strongly recommend that you try to tune in to all the Giants home games for the rest of the season, because there is really an opportunity there to hear some pieces of history from a man who is truly a living broadcast legend and will not be with us on the air after this year. Hopefully they will find a place for him in the Hall of Fame somewhere.
I'll tell you, it's not going to be it certainly won't be the same without him. I mean, you know, this happens every several decades. Mark, you and I have both been around long enough to have seen the torch passed on from one set of broadcasters to another. But I think this one's going to hurt a little bit more than most.
Well, as someone pointed out yesterday, Kruko is still on top of his game.
Okay, my friends, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. Mark?
It looks as though, and guys, I have no headset on or anything, so I cannot hear anybody. That's the only way I can do this without feedback, is to go blind. So I'm just going to rumble through this. Gaming, not gambling. Delta has partnered with DraftKings for, they've been partners actually for a year, and people would say, well, why would Delta Airlines travel, partner with a online bookmaker? Well, the reason is because they're looking to the future. And while gambling is not legal in the sky right now, gambling might be legal in the sky someday. And so Delta has created this partnership with DraftKings. You will be able to make sports predictions in the sky, not for money, but the winning predictors will be able to get, will win prizes. So that's the way this is going to work. So fun for those who like to make sports gaming predictions that someday may lead to something else for Delta, I'm sure. And as we mentioned in the headlines here, your DoorDash orders may soon be delivered by drones. An FAA certification will allow the company to operate small aircraft that delivered in a pilot program run last year, delivered food in an average of 25 minutes. I think that's going to be a really, really, as I said, what's that hovering outside your door, hotel window? That's your food that DoorDash is trying to figure out how to get to you. JetBlue has been in a little bit of trouble this week with getting passengers off of planes. But the reason I bring this up is just because there are 6 or 8 or 10 stories this week from influencers who have obviously created disruptions on airplanes in order to get content, in order to get clickbait. So all I can tell you is don't click on those things on the internet. When you see those things of, you know, somebody got in the airplane and all hell broke loose, don't click on that stuff. If you stop clicking on it, it will go away. If those folks get no attention and they get no clicks, they'll have no advertisers. There'll be no reason for them to exist. And if you see or you're part of one of those situations on a plane, my suggestion is stay as far away from it as you possibly can. The DOT is considering changes on how airfares are shown. In 2010, the Obama administration drafted a full fare advertising rule, which required airlines, as well as anybody selling airline tickets, to display the total price of airfares, including fees, surcharges, and taxes. This has been an incredibly popular rule with passengers, as you might imagine, but less so with airlines, many of which with which to highlight base fares and drive more interest in upselling you along the way. Last month, the DOT posted a proposed rule and extended the comment for 3 more weeks on Friday. They are considering changing how the airfares are shown. This is not good for consumers. It continues a long run of anti-consumer-friendly things that are happening under the current administration. DOT also has not fined an airline for anything since the first of the year, which is somewhat unprecedented. So good luck, folks. It's the Wild West out there. Everybody can do pretty much whatever they want to you. And there's not as many people to protect you as there used to be. Another budget airline is adding first-class seats. Allegiant seats will debut in 2027. Well, duh. If premium travel is what's making money for airlines, then Allegiant, there's used to be 3 of these guys, Allegiant, Frontier, and Spirit. Spirit out of business now. Allegiant has decided to join Frontier and create first-class seating on their aircraft that will start next year. And here's something that's kind of disconcerting. A new face of travel fraud, says the headline, AI voice cloning. It will soon be possible, if it isn't already, for your voice to be duplicated, or the voice of, say, your trusted travel agent to be duplicated, to call you on the phone and ask you for all types of scam-type information. So we'll follow this as it becomes more in the news as time goes on. But what this really, really points out is do business with someone you know. And if you do business with someone frequently that you know, and it involves large sums of money, if you're traveling and you're buying premium tickets and stuff like that, you might consider the possibility, if you do business with one person, have a password, a vocal password with that person. So when they call you on the phone, you can identify for sure that that's the person who's calling you. Wow, that is really voice cloning. How interesting. United Airlines is saying goodbye to 250 million plastic cups. They have invented a new paper cup that will handle both hot and cold beverages. United says it will save 250 million plastic cups over the course of the year. Delta and Starbucks are linking back up. You will be able to earn Delta SkyMiles when you go to Starbucks. You must link your accounts first, though. So if you're a Delta flyer who enjoys Starbucks coffee, you can pick up the few odd SkyMiles there by linking your two accounts together. You'll get one SkyMile for every dollar that you spend at Starbucks. And finally, last story in the travel news for today. This is a story about a Florida evangelist. Remember last week, Tom, we talked about how people who were who like to talk about Jesus to others and share their thoughts about the gospel to other people were doing that on airplanes. And along comes a story here this week. Pre-flight sermon gets plane preacher kicked off Alaska Airlines flight. This is a Florida lady. She says she uses most of her flights as an opportunity to share her thoughts about Jesus and God and the church. And on Thursday, she said her sermon got her kicked off a San Diego-bound jet before it even took off from Orlando International Airport. She was on an Alaska Airlines flight, got up and shared some things with other people on the plane. The flight attendants asked her to stop. She gave them a bunch of grief. The flight attendants decided that since the plane hadn't left the gate yet, they were kind of not happy with having this lady on the plane. They opened the door back up, deplaned her, took about 20, 30 minutes to get her off the plane because, of course, she had a lot to say. There's video online if you want to look at it. But anyways, preachers on the plane. This lady thought that having a captive audience on the plane would be wonderful. My goodness, use a little bit of better judgment than that is all I can say. And that's your travel news for today.
Hi there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, a link to our special guest today and other interviews and stuff to make you a smarter traveler, always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us today on the Travel Guys, just across the street there, the Senior Public Information Officer from the Sacramento, SMF, it's Sacramento International Airport, Scott Johnston. Scott, thank you so much. We've been chasing you for a while to get you on with us here at the Travel Guys. There's so much going on at the airport. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, no, thank you for having me. I've been off getting married and traveling a little bit, so it's great to be back and great talking to you.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Before we start the interview, how's the marriage going?
It's going very well, yes. Thank you.
Yeah? Yeah? Did you know this lady for a while before you got married, or?
Mark?
We did, yes. We've been married, we've been together for about 5 years, lived together for about 4.5. So there's no real surprises there.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, we just, we want to, in addition to, knowing about the airport, we want to keep up to date on, when we heard that, when I started chasing you and then I looked for, went to the people and said, gee, I can't find Scott. And they said, well, the reason you can't find him is because, he's getting married and he's taking some time off and stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that, there hadn't been an annulment or anything in the meantime so that we could.
Mark.
No. She hasn't figured me out yet.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, if she hasn't figured you out in that long, buddy, it's pretty good chance that you're under the radar. Congratulations to you and your spouse. Progress on walking and driving and parking and all that stuff at the airport. What about, it looks like the bridge out to Terminal B is just about ready to be walked on.
Well, not quite. It's getting there for sure. And we're projecting that that's going to be open. We still have a lot to do on the inside with the art installations and things like that. So we're looking at around the first of the year for that to be completed.
Okay. Are there going to be concessions or vendors in that space?
At this point, there will not be, no.
Okay. Okay. I noticed that there are some new vendors on the terminal side. of the tram and stuff out there, that there are places to be able to get a cup of coffee or sit and wait for people. And I noticed that there are actually quite a few people taking advantage of their availability.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. We're just about done with our entire concessions revamp in both terminals. There's only two restaurants left in Terminal B to be opened and one in Terminal A. Bambuza is a Vietnamese restaurant that will be in both terminals very shortly. And then Midtown Spirits will be where the old cafeteria 15L was in Terminal B. So very exciting. It's been a huge project, and it's really amazing. It looks beautiful out there.
If I were I'm sorry, Mark. If I were headed out there tomorrow, Scott, what new concessions could I take advantage of in, let's start with Terminal B.
Well, Terminal B, we have Cafe Bernardo now. There's Next Taco. There is there's a whole list of everyone. The only two that I can mention that are not there yet are Bambuza and Midtown Spirits. But there's also a Temple Coffee. There's a Wendy's now. It's just really there's a plethora of options for folks.
And in Terminal A?
Same thing, really. There's new Helvetia's opened. There's also a Wendy's in Terminal A, West Coast Sourdough. If you go to the website, there's a list of all the new options and where they're located.
I see. Have you had, Scott, the opportunity to dine at any of these establishments yet?
I actually have. Yes, I've almost all of them. We've got a sample and we go out there and it's just nice to have some fresh options. We also have a new option here. Pre-security in Terminal B, and that's going really well as well.
You say you've dined at some of these places. I know your role is to promote everybody equally, but is there something that you had at one of the new places that you would recommend?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really partial to One Speed Pizza, which is also a Terminal B option. They have one in East Sacramento near my home that I frequent often. Next Taco is another one that you really can't go wrong with. But, they're all great. And it's really nice to have such a cool, refreshing new look in both terminals.
Scott, how do you pick these places? How do you pick the vendors? How are they selected?
So there's a whole process that we went through, and the goal was really to have a taste of Sacramento, right? So when we were putting this out to people, that was really one of the main things we wanted to do, was to make sure that when folks come through the airport, they're getting a real taste of what was offered here in the city. And so that was really kind of a goal. We also took pride in small business opportunities. Wendy's is really the only chain that we have. So those are some of the things that we looked at when we were making the selections.
Well, I see it's always been kind of the case here is a longtime friend, Randy Perigary, who has several restaurants and had become an icon here in the Sacramento area that we lost some years ago. Restaurants, Cafe Bernardo, Esquire Grill, those show up, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with the fact of the popularity of a local grown and produced product such as the Perigary chain would show up there at our airport. That it just only makes sense, and I'm glad they're there.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a big part. They were really happy and very proud to have them.
So, Scott, while you were off, getting married and enjoying all the things that that accompany that, the story broke here that they were talking about, there's been some discussion about expanding one of the terminals out there. And everybody I've talked to have said, well, this is very, very early stages of discussion and stuff like that. But still, tell us what you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at doing an expansion in Concourse B, which would add approximately 6 to 8 new gates. Again, you're not wrong. It's very early in the process. We're not really sure how that's going to look yet, but it's, we're always in looking for to add new gates. The airlines would be happy to have them. And, we'll definitely have more information as it becomes available.
When you say add new gates and expanding the terminal, and that's more than just more parking spots for airplanes, is it not? Is that going to create a build out with here again, even more opportunities for more restaurants and things going on in the terminal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a possibility for sure. It's really going to depend on how big the build-out is, because you still need to have space for passengers to sit while they're waiting to board and things like that. But yeah, it's more than just gates. It's definitely possibilities there for other expansion as well.
Scott, is there anything that you can share with us about new airlines or perhaps new destinations from existing carriers?
Not right now. That we're still working. We're always trying. You know, there's one of my coworkers is at a conference right now speaking with airlines about possibilities. Right now, we're still offering, 11 carriers. We have 181 daily flights to 48 nonstop destinations. So there's a lot of options there. But yeah, for sure, we always want to add. And, we're always working to do that.
Yeah, as a tour operator, I would just like to throw my 2 cents worth into the ring there. Sure would be nice to have something nonstop that goes over the pond, to one of the big hub airports over there, Frankfurt or, something Schiphol or something like that. So I'm sure I'm not Absolutely. The first person to think that. I just want to make sure that you know where my loyalties lie there.
Absolutely. It's a very hot topic and one that we are definitely trying to work towards.
Well, and with having just celebrated 15 years of having the service to Mexico here, mm-hmm. which is, what kind of sort of made us an international airport, and then eventually Air Canada joined the show. And if we mm-hmm. stop insulting Canadians, why, there's probably a pretty good chance that we'll have more Canadian service here one of these days. But for right now, at least looks like the Toronto flight is on the schedule for next summer, and a couple of shots up to Vancouver. So that's really good news. One other thing that came out, Scott, while you were off getting married was 4-minute curb parking. There was a story. This got some pretty good coverage all over the country. I saw it in 3 or 4 different news feeds about how cameras have been installed out there that will alert people who are keeping track of such things, who are trying to move people along off the limited curb parking out there, especially at Terminal A, that after 4 minutes of being parked on the curb, those folks would be notified and be able to come over and say, hey, you've been here long enough, you need to move along. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, so it's really all designed to ease the flow of traffic through the airport on the curbs during peak hours. What we're really trying to do is cut down the dwell times, like you mentioned. And we've seen it in Terminal A. The cameras are there right now, and they've been operating since about January. Terminal B, they are not quite ready to go online yet. But what we've seen is the dwell times have decreased significantly from an average of 4 minutes and 30 seconds to about under 2 minutes. So that's a significant decrease. And again, it's all based on just having people, a little bit more aware, moving through the airport quicker and alleviating a lot of the traffic. It also takes a lot of the pressure off of some of our curbside employees who are out there monitoring. They can move around in different areas easier. They get a notification when someone's been there longer than 4 minutes. They'll go over and make contact, ask the folks to move along. And, if need be, they can issue a citation electronically. But we haven't really seen that much. It's mostly just been, you've been here, move on, and everybody's happy to do it.
What a civilized way to do things.
My goodness.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't want to be the guy on the curb. I wouldn't want to have been the guy on the curb before. And I wouldn't want to be the guy on the curb or gal on the curb now. But still, when you think about it, you're not really supposed to be there and it's supposed to be loitering there. So the fact that somebody comes up and says, hey, you've been here for a while, so, take a loop around the airport or go find another place or something like that, seems like just a very civilized way to do things, as opposed to and the articles that I read, and you mentioned it here again, Scott, in what you just said, is that, the idea is not really that we're trying to create revenue and give out tickets. We just need to keep that space open for people who are legitimately needed.
Yes, absolutely. And again, it's all about, we want the customer experience when they're dropping off and picking up to be as best as it can be, right? So, if people take that into mind, and also, and something we encourage is utilizing the free waiting area out by the AM/PM. If you're not quite ready to pick up your passenger yet, just hang out there. They can shoot you a text. We like to remind people that from the time the plane lands until you get to the curb with your bag, if you check the bag, it can take up to 30 minutes. And, you know, that's a lot of time to be doing loops around the airport. So we always say, hey, hang out at the free waiting area, get something to drink if you'd like. And then when they're out on the curb, they're ready to go, have them shoot you a text, sneak up, grab them, and you'll be on your way.
We're talking with Scott Johnston. He is the senior public information officer out at the Sacramento International Airport. Scott, wanted to ask you, the burning subject mostly on people's minds, and I'm sure they've been waiting for this. Tell us about the parking garage update.
Yes, very exciting update. This garage has been going very well. They're on course and on time, and we're really hoping that it will be ready to be utilized before Thanksgiving of this fall. So It's going to be a huge addition to us, especially for holiday travel. You know, another 55 extra spots will be open and up close parking. So yeah, it's a really exciting time to be here with this opening, because, you know, as everyone knows, we've been waiting for a while.
You mean 5,500, right?
Yeah, 5,500. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes, we have been waiting and walking a long way and riding shuttle buses. And so, yes, those of us airport geeks out here, when Tom says, you know, this is really important, to those of us who are at the airport a lot, this is really important because this is going to change life at the airport. No longer if you're parking in the daily lot and you get there after 7 o'clock in the morning, where you have to hike in from the Sierra Nevada mountain range in order to utilize that parking. So this is kind of an important thing that's going to really make life a lot easier, I think, for a lot of people. And I'm sure you all recognize that 5,500 parking spaces, my goodness, the remote parking will be deserted. What a terrible, terrible thing. Yeah. You guys are probably going to save a lot of money on the airport on just not having to run as many shuttle buses and stuff, don't you think?
That'll be, you know, time will tell on that for sure. And, you know, we're excited to see how much this garage alleviates some of that. And, you know, people really want to park up close, rightfully so. So, yeah, we'll see how it all goes. But, yeah, by Thanksgiving, it should be open and running. And, you know, it's something that everybody here as employees is excited about as well.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like a big deal, you know, parking a garage at the airport. But like I said, it is something. With 5,500 spaces, you're going to change the airport experience in a positive way for hundreds, if not thousands, of people every single day. So congratulations on the new food places and on the accent of trying to bring, you know, people are going to eat at those places as they are getting ready to leave Sacramento in most cases. And so leaving them with some little taste, literally, of Sacramento before they leave is a cool thing. Congratulations on your marriage to you and your wife. And thank you very much, Scott, for being so generous with your time today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it, too. You guys are great, and we love talking to you.
Well, it's just a matter of time. New parking garage and all of that sort of stuff. I was out there this past week, and you know, everybody's working really hard to get everything finished up, and the new food vendors are happening, and you know, it was really, really quite slow on a Wednesday at the airport. Maybe it was because everybody was wasn't leaving town till the weekend. We are the Travel Guys. We're going to take a short time out, come back with the Sports Leisure Minute, and more to come right here with the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
As the owner of a tour company, once in a while you get to have your own ideas, and I had one a couple weeks ago, and I'm making it come to fruition. Remember how we talked on this radio show how there is going to be a new show on Broadway next year doing the life of Dolly Parton? And so we are going to feature that in a trip, also featuring the Macy's, the Spring Flower Show in Macy's in New York City. It is, they don't actually have a room or a area where they do the flowers. They put them up throughout the store. So it's quite a spectacle. And also in the springtime, we go to Carnegie Hall, see a special program there. all coming up next spring from Sports Leisure Vacations. It'll be one of the tours that'll be rolled out at our tour preview day, for which reservations are now being accepted. That's Sunday, the 27th of September at the Sophia downtown. You can call Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051 and make your reservations for tour preview day today.
All right. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. By the way, you can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can get podcasts at that location as well as at KHTK on their website. All right, Mark, let's see. Earlier when things started to come unraveled, we were going to talk about and give people some suggestions as to how to get those selfies in without hurting yourself.
Well, and this applies, you would have 10 years ago, you would have said, hey, everybody out there under 25, be careful. But now some of the people who are becoming victims of death or serious injuries by trying to take a selfie, this is kind of spread to all generations. So it really becomes a situational thing. It's sort of like you're pushing the envelope, and a lot of people like to do that in a lot of different life situations. But you've got to be careful. What's the landscape is littered here with. I've got a list of how people met their maker here by trying to take a selfie, and it really, in many cases, involves people contorting themselves, and in some cases their friends, to get into a situation where they can take a selfie, where somebody can hold up a phone, and now you've got to try to balance yourself and balance your friends, and you want that special background and all that stuff, and all the statistics are telling us is that people increasingly are getting seriously hurt by this. So if you are somebody who is a selfie taker, then this is something to be aware of. If you are somebody who poses as a part of a selfie, don't let the stupidity of the person taking the picture or the lack of awareness bring you down also. Ned Levy from from Travelers United did a story about this a number of months back. And when I saw the feed about the number of people who had been killed just so far this year trying to take a selfie, I pulled up Ned's old article here, and it said he has four selfie rules of conduct for conduct and self-preservation. He says, number one, have respect for others. It's bad enough to put oneself in danger by selfie. It's unconscionable to endanger others. So, he's talking about your friends, your family, whatever. Hey, come over here and take this picture with me. So make sure if you're the come over here and take this picture with me person, that if the person who's taking the picture isn't showing any common sense, that perhaps you can use some. Ned's second one on his list here was have respect for wildlife. All I have to say to you is remember the bison in Yellowstone. The guy wasn't anywhere near the bison. He wasn't taking a selfie or anything, and the animal still came after him. So if you're trying to get a well-placed wildlife in the background and it's wildlife, then be aware of what's going on and don't be too preoccupied with taking the picture, so preoccupied that you lose bearings of what your surroundings are, where you're standing and what precarious situation you might be, or something might happen around you to distract and cause your circumstances to change. And then next on Ned's list here, which follows right along, have respect for your surroundings. You must be careful not to damage the area in which you're located. There are lots of instances where people trying to get selfies have trampled things that were part of what they were trying to take a picture of, simply because out of negligence. So have respect for your surroundings when you're trying to take a selfie. And finally, Ned, the fourth one on this list is have respect for yourself. And I would just wrap that up by saying use common sense. When you're getting ready to take a selfie, take a deep breath and stop for a second and say, is this really a safe situation? Or is there by looking at this, you know what? If we went and stood over there, we'd get just about the same shot and it would be a lot safer. So be the person who uses common sense when it comes to taking selfies out on the road or for that matter anywhere else. But since selfies tend to be taken when people are trying to show where they are or who they're with, or what they're wearing or things like that. So common sense needs to prevail in those situations.
What happened to the good old days where generally speaking, when you're taking pictures, there are other people around taking pictures too. And what would you used to be able to ask the other group? Would you mind snapping a couple of shots of my group? And you'll get a better mm-hmm. picture. It'll be a safer situation. Instead of you being the selfie person that only is kind of partly in the picture because you couldn't quite reach that far, you know, I think we should go back to the old-fashioned way of having people take pictures for us. You know, everybody wants to be in the shot, and the best way to do that is to get a volunteer. People are always happy to step up and take your pictures. In fact, a lot of times they'll do that. They'll volunteer, say, hey, can I take that picture for you? So, you know, think about that as a creative option. What do you think, Mark?
Well, and I think that you bring up a good point here, and that is, I don't know how to say this and not get myself in trouble. People with short arms shouldn't take selfies because you come in your face and stuff because you can't get the camera far enough away from you. So people with long arms should take the selfies, and people with short arms should be in the picture. Just a thought, but, you know, think about it. I mean, even 6 or 8 inches can make a very big difference when you're taking a selfie as far as getting that camera away from you and getting more of the other people and perhaps whatever's in the background in the shot. So I don't know, but I travel a lot and I take people to a lot of places. You know, it's like, hey, let's stop here. This is a photo stop. And you see people trying to do really strange things, often younger travelers, who are climbing up on a monument or a pedestal or something like that without paying much attention to what they're on, or, you know, there was just a thunderstorm a couple hours ago, so everything is slick. And I've seen a couple people take pretty dangerous falls out on the road. Fortunately, like I said, younger people, they bounced off of the pavement and went on about their life. So, but yeah, not a bad idea at all, Tom. The old school method of asking the person who's standing right next to you, hey, would you take a picture of us, please? Because in most cases, they are very happy to do so.
There you go. And like I say, you're going to end up with probably a better picture. Okay, we're Mark and Tom, the travel guys. We're going to take one more short time out. Then we got the odds and ends segment coming up. Stick around. We are the travel guys. Live and Living Radio, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with the Travel Guys. You can always tell when our show is completely live or when we have complete train wrecks. Mark, how you doing over there?
I'm still here, still breathing. Hey, I don't know if you saw the, did you see the email or the text I sent you during the break here, Tom?
Oh, no, but let me take a quick look here.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Okay. We got an opening here, which is all I needed. A couple weeks ago we had a mailbag segment on the program, and we talked about whether or not if you were going on vacation, and let's say you were a single traveler and you were going with another couple, so there were three in the party, or maybe you were a single traveler and there were two other couples, there were five in the party, and the question being, what's the proper protocol when it comes to sharing who pays for what? Should the single person who is perhaps it's a two-bedroom place and you're occupying one of the bedrooms, so should you therefore pay half, even though you only make up one-third of the party? And some discussion back and forth about that in a couple of different spots online. Anyway, we talked about it a little bit, and I suggested that, no, the single person should pay a third, or if there were five people, the single person should pay a fifth. You know, everybody should pay an equal amount. And a somewhat innocuous question, I thought, or thing that we brought up on the air, and we had half a dozen responses online, which are really split right down the middle, from people who agreed with me that a single person should pay a fair share, i.e., if there are four people in the party, each person should pay a fourth of the costs. And people who said, no, the single person is getting a bedroom to themselves, and they should be paying half, in essence. They should pay that single penalty. Now, as a tour operator, I'm familiar with that, because when you travel and you're buying package travel, if you're not sharing a hotel room with somebody, the cost of your trip is more expensive than somebody who is sharing a hotel room with someone, because obviously the cost of a single or double hotel room oftentimes is the same or very close to the same. So somebody has to pick up the other side double people are splitting the cost of the room, whereas a single person is having to pay for the entire room. So that theory kind of stands in here, that the single person should pay a disproportionate amount. Anyway, I thought, Tom, it was interesting that there was so much response to that question. So obviously this is something that comes up more often than not when people are traveling, whether or not, and there was absolutely no consensus whatsoever from the half a dozen people who responded online. Half of them agreed with what we had to say, and half of them did not, and all of them had very good arguments for why they stood where they did.
That's fascinating. I'm really quite surprised. I figured most, if not all, people would say everybody should pay their fair share. Like you say, if there are three of you, and one person would be paying a third. And anyway, fascinating results. People are different opinions, and we certainly do appreciate you guys chiming in at travelguysradio.com and let us know what your opinion on the different subjects.
I'm just going back, Tom, and looking at these half a dozen replies here that I have the emails printed out, and it does appear as though the people who responded who were couples, part of a couple, thought one way, and the people who were single travelers thought, no, split it equally, and the couples had a different. So that may have something to do with the with the responses here. It may just be coincidental that we got half a dozen. Listen, I want to relate something that I watched at the airport happened the other day when I was going through TSA screening. Be careful, folks, about putting your phone or open cash, not very many people carry cash anymore, or guys, your wallet, and laying them in the bins without putting them in something. I watched the other day as somebody, they pretended that it was accidental, but I didn't look that accidental to me, who basically walked up to a bin and started taking stuff out of it, cash, wallet, phone. It wasn't their stuff, and it wasn't their bin. And in another 15 or 20 seconds, had the person who the stuff belonged to not noticed it, the guy probably would have been off down the road. Now, I don't know whether or not this was a robbery or whether it was just somebody making an honest mistake. But, hey, you know, if I was picking up a wallet that wasn't mine, I would sort of know right away. So if you're going through TSA screening, put your wallet, your money, your phone, put it in a pocket. Put it in your backpack, or slip it into the pocket of your jacket that you're putting in through security, and zip up your jacket pocket, something like that. Just a reminder that it looks rather innocuous and like nothing bad could happen there, but happens all the time. And really, it's something that you can prevent just with a little bit of advanced thought.
Yeah. Well, I'm really pretty anal about going through the TSA lines. I carry a backpack, and way before I ever get to the TSA line, my wallet goes in my backpack. My phone goes in my backpack. The only thing that's left on me, on my person, is literally my driver's license. You know, even my boarding pass, they don't care about your boarding pass anymore. They want you to stand in front of the camera and verify who you are, look at your driver's license, send you on your way. So I'm down to nothing but my driver's license by the time I get to the TSA pre-check, and you can fly through right away. So plan ahead. By the way, the other thing I noticed is that you now have TSA pre-check. You've got where you can do the biometric thing with the pre-check, and then you got clear. I see a lot of people confused. They're in the wrong line. They're in the clear line. They're in the other line. They're not supposed to be in the TSP pre-check line. So pay attention to which line that you got in and look at the signs close so you'll be at the right place.
And just to add confusion to the situation, there are some people who have clear who do not have pre-check. So they go through clear. They can't go into the pre-check lane. They have to go into the other lane. So it's a line cut, no question about it, that you pay for with clear. But I really increasingly recommend the TSA touchless thing. Look, if you fly, the biometrics thing has already gotten away from you. The government already has your eyeballs. So by declining and opting out of that, Really and truly, I don't think you're saving yourself from anything. And the touchless line moves very quickly, and eventually more people are going to discover it, but right now they haven't. So go use the touchless line and you're in business. All right, one more item here before we wrap up the program. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, or you've stayed at a resort that's, you know, along the ocean or has a big pool or something like that, what happens is early in the morning, people go for deck chairs or for pool chairs. And when there's usually a certain time that you can first go, and when that bell rings, why, people go dashing out into the shipboard area or the pool area at the hotel to lay down a towel and reserve their spot. The problem is that in many cases, people are reserving a spot for an entire day and only using that space for an hour or two. And it prevents other people from having the opportunity. I can see people out there listening right now who have been on cruise ships and are going, yeah, you know, what the heck? I go out at 7:30 in the morning to get a chair and they're all already taken. And they're taken all day long. So Carnival has come up with an interesting solution for this. Carnival is going around and putting stickers on reserved chairs and just saying that, and they're giving folks 45 minutes or an hour, and they're saying, look, you know, it's 8 o'clock now, and at 9 o'clock, we're going to remove the stuff from this chair and open it up to the public again, and you can pick up your things over there at the kiosk if that belongs to you. So I think they might be onto something here. The idea that people can't reserve, just go out there and reserve a chair for all day, but that somebody is policing it a little bit. I think folks who have been in that situation would agree that that might be a much fairer way to do things. We'll keep an eyeball on it.
All righty. That's it for today, my friends. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. See you next Saturday, 11 a.m. We'll make an attempt to do this again.
Yeah, that's it. And if you don't catch the show at 11 a.m., you can catch the podcast, where you can catch that at TravelGuysRadio.com. In the meanwhile, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Saturday on the radio.